I made a sheep cake the other day and I let it rest. And then all of a sudden during the night when I was sleeping, the head fell off.
Welcome to the Italian Wine Podcast Lockdown Series. Every Monday, we'll be connecting with Italian wine people. Join us to find out what they're doing and drinking today. This podcast is brought to you by Colangelo & Partners, the leading fine wine and spirits agency in the U.S. Visit Colangelo & Partners on www.colangelopr.com.
Hello, Tara. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Geraldine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, your kitchen looks fantastic. I can't wait to hear what's going on there. But I think by way of letting our listeners know a little bit about, let's say, the last year of your life, which has been really exciting. You just came back to the States to become CEO of Empson Companies, but I think it's safe to say that you literally grew up in the wine business while your family was building both export and import companies. I understand that that Empson exports to 32 different countries, and then of course there's your USA-based business. So tell us a little bit about your role in the last year and you know, what your days were like.
Well, yeah, I literally grew up in the wine business. So most of my memories are falling asleep on my mother's lap in restaurants when I was a child and playing little Polly Pockets. My parents took me everywhere. And I grew up with the producers. To this day, we still have most of our producers in our portfolio, which I think is a very lucky thing. And we're a relationship-based company. And about a year and a half ago, my parents decided to pass me the banner, which was such an honor, considering, you know, all the times that I've frustrated them and all the stupid things I've done growing up. So they trusted me that much, which is great. But so I grew up in Italy and I decided about a year ago to change because I had spent so much time there, and literally ever since I was 4 and a half that I realized that I'd never spent a lot of time in America if it wasn't off and on of an airplane. So yeah, so here I am and in Virginia, which our headquarters is here, and I'm loving it.
Excellent. So now that you're not in the office anymore, how are you spending your time? How has your routine changed?
I've learned to take care of things better, actually. It's an odd thing to say. You know, you're always busy on an airplane, going to the office, coming back, doing. And, you know, this time has really taught me to cherish the things that I have and actually take care of them. I painted my walls. I've been baking. I take care of my dogs and just enjoying the things that I've worked for and that my parents have worked for.
That's fantastic. But I think you're being modest in saying you've been baking. It looks like you've got a sort of professional lineup there. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I taught wine studies at the Culinary Institute of America. We call it the CIA, obviously, here in the States. And this is
it's different, the CIA.
yes, there's no espionage involved. There's a lot of cooking, but no espionage. And this is an entire course. I mean, there are spectacular, you know, creations like yours that take these students almost a half a year to make. So we're going to talk a little bit in detail about some of your creations, but tell me, how did you get interested in this, and how did you learn the craft?
So when I was about 22, 23, I walked into a bookstore in Milan called Feltrinelli, and I was walking around and there was this little book, and I opened it up and it had the most beautiful fondant cake creations I'd ever seen. And my mother was someone, she never drank her Coca-Cola, we never had sugar in the house. But at that moment, I realized that, okay, I'm not really a sweet type of person, but I want to make things that beautiful. And I'm not going to stop until I achieve my goal.
What are some of the secrets when it comes to baking?
Well, the difference between cooking and baking is that baking, if you don't have patience to do it, you can never correct it. And you're either going to do it right or don't bother. And in the kitchen, however, You can add spices, you can add salt, you can flavor it. And baking, if you don't get things right, then just throw it in the garbage. And it's terrible to say that because everybody hates to waste, but I've worked on actually a lot of cakes in my lifetime of, you know, we were talking about, I made a sheep cake the other day and I let it rest. And then all of a sudden during the night when I was sleeping, the head fell off. So by the time I picked it up in the morning, it looked like an ugly pug. So I was like, I can't give this cake to anyone. What am I going to do? But, you know, you don't stop there. You try again.
Right. Okay. Well, that would be the difference. That would be the difference. So, let's talk about some of these creations. What do you have in front of you today?
So to my left, which I had to make a few days ago, I do apologize, not the freshest of cakes, but it's my Little Vanilla International cake. So this is my 3D.
That's fantastic. Awesome. That's like super great idea.
Thank you. So that was, so it's basically just layers of cake, frosting on the inside, buttercream on the outside. And you have to cover it with fondant. And to make something like this usually takes about 2-3 days. So just preparation alone. And I'm scared to touch it because something's going to fall off. And then we can talk about a cake disaster. And then over here, I have a Boston cream pie because it's my neighbor's son's birthday. So he asked me for a Boston cream pie, which I made for the first time yesterday. So now my neighbor's gonna get two cakes.
You mentioned fondant earlier. Tell us a little bit about that, and why does it take 3 days to set up?
Because fondant's a sugar base, and it takes time to dry. So the hardest part when you're actually working with fondant is let it set and dry. So basically, I have a piece of fondant here. You can tell it's very pliable. So I put some sugar here. It's always good to have powdered sugar. So just FYI, right here we have, I just made cups of flour, sugar, chocolate, which are the base ingredients for anything that you want to do in milk and everything else. But in this particular case, going back to the fondant, you roll it out. Just always make sure you have a flat surface. If not, it's a battle you're never going to win. And then from there, you create. You just have to be careful not to touch it too much, and any sort of temperature is critical because it will melt. And that's how you get a pug sheep.
And so let's deconstruct that Vanitaly cake, which by the way was so touching because you all of us would be at Vanitaly right now this week. So I think it's very appropriate. And you've got a little bunny down there. So you're and the Italian flag and the fact that it's a DOCG. I love that. But how do you apply that? Do you spread that with your hands, or do you have certain tools that you need to use because of the temperature?
So you it's always best to use tools. So here, I mean, obviously this is a small one. I do have bigger ones in my closet. So not in my closet, in my pantry. So, you know, you roll it out, and then from there you can pretty much, this is for flattening anything, paintbrushes, because in this case you also have to put edible coloring on your cake. So everything needs to be edible. So thankfully America is the country of cake decorating, so you can find anything and everything here. So I'm very lucky.
I know, our kitchen stores are, you could get lost in there for about 5 hours. So I saw on Instagram some really interesting cakes that you created. There was a sailboat, a snowman, this fabulous Easter bunny, and that Venetian, I guess it was a Venetian carnival cake, maybe it was Mardi Gras, that had the beautiful mask. So obviously we're looking at a wine bottle, and that's been an inspiration, but how do you decide? What's your inspiration for the shapes and the outcome of your cakes?
That's a very good question. It depends on who you're making them for, okay, so I don't eat my cakes. No, for two reasons. A, because I'm not a big sugar fan, and B, because I'm too critical of anything that I make. So we all are, I mean, come on. At the end of the day, you know, if you have a special occasion or someone in mind, then it helps you want to make it. So at that point, you research, or I like to go on, I like to look at Pinterest or what other people are doing, or thank God for Google. And that's basically where you get your inspiration, and then you try.
What are some of the interesting wines that one might pair with some of these creations of yours?
So that's a very good question. So one of the categories that I think has been a little bit abandoned, and you're right, I mean, it's mainly up to the restaurant business to try and promote, is the whole restaurant dessert category of wines, which, as you know, Italy has, you know, Italy and France have an amazing selection of these wines. And, you know, usually people will order another bottle of wine before they'll resort to dessert wines, and it's a shame. So what we have today is two different options, actually three different options for you, but today we're just going to show you two different bottles. So one of them, here we have a Moscato d'Asti from Marcherini. This is something that I would propose. It's got a good, it's a sparkling sweet base that goes very well with just any sort of dessert, if you want to look at it that way. And then here we have a beautiful Hauner Passito di Malvasia. It's from Salina, here we're in the Aeolian Islands. So here what you're gonna have is like a lot of apricot honey on your palate. So this can go very well with many different desserts. And the third wine, which you're gonna see, is the Barolo Chinato, which goes very well with chocolate, by the way. So that's something that I would personally recommend. And the story actually is kind of cool. So it was created in the 800s in Piedmont. Because it's from herbs, and it's a herb Barolo base basically, and it was made to cure ailments during the winter. So that shows you.
It's one of those northwestern Italy is full of aromatized all kinds of aromatized beverages and infused beverages, and so yes, Chinato would definitely cure your ills and would definitely be a great match for cakes. So but honestly, the fact that you taught yourself by just discovering it in a book and then pursuing it, I think. To your point when we first started, is that if there is something you've been putting off, go for it, try it now, and you'll never have to look back, and you will have had personal enrichment, but you've also tried, something else in your life. So that's fantastic.
If you're that type of person, then baking is for you.
Yeah. Well, Tara, thanks so much for joining today. I think we're all a little more inspired to do something like this, and hopefully you and I will see each other on the wine roads out there very soon.
Thank you so much, Geraldine. I appreciate it. Thank you for
taking the time. Have a great day.
I forgot. Salute.
Oh, salute a te.
Beautiful. Ciao.
See you next Monday for another virtual wine journey Italian Wine Podcast Lockdown Series.